The Apostles and the Torah, Reconstructing the First Century Church, Part 3. Section 3. The Jerusalem Council. 1. Setting and Purpose. Acts 15 records the earliest formal deliberation of the apostolic leadership. Its agenda was not whether Torah remained valid, but how Gentile converts were to enter Israel's covenant community. Certain Judean emissaries insisted on full proselyte conversion, circumcision and complete ritual conformity, as prerequisites for salvation. Paul and Barnabas opposed this, arguing that Gentiles were saved through faith in Messiah alone. The council convened in Jerusalem, comprising apostles and elders under James's authority. The debate echoed long-standing Jewish discussions about Ger Tzedek, righteous proselytes, versus Ger Shaar, resident aliens. The question was not if the Torah applied, but how it applied to non-Jews grafted into Israel's olive tree, Rom 11:17. 2. James's halakhic decision. After testimony from Peter, Paul, and Barnabas, James delivers the ruling, Pisak halakha, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood, Acts 15 verses 28-29. These four injunctions correspond directly to Leviticus 17-18, the so-called Noachide or Gertishev code binding on foreigners dwelling among Israel. They represent entry-level standards of purity enabling Gentiles to fellowship with Jewish believers. As Tim Haig observes, James's decision assumes ongoing synagogue participation. The Torah was to be learned progressively, not dismissed. 1. 3. From ancient generations Moses has those who preach him. James immediately explains the pedagogical logic, for Moses has in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues, Acts 15 verse 21. This verse functions as the interpretive key. The four prohibitions were not an exhaustive ethic but a starting point. Gentile converts, attending synagogue each Sabbath, would hear Moses read and gradually internalize Torah. The council thus balanced two imperatives, maintaining table fellowship and avoiding unnecessary obstacles to inclusion. It is, in modern terms, an incremental discipleship model grounded in Torah education, too. 4. The Gentile purity framework. Each of the four stipulations protects ritual and moral boundaries essential for communal worship. 1. Idolatry, participation in pagan sacrifices would defile both worshiper and community. Lev 17:7-9. 2. Sexual immorality, porneia, a term encompassing Leviticus 18's prohibitions, aligning with holiness ethics. 3. Strangled animals, violate Torah's command to drain blood, Lev 17:13. 4. Blood consumption, explicitly forbidden as the life of the creature, Lev 17:10-12. The final two are clearly dietary. If dietary law were abolished, these prohibitions would be incoherent. Their inclusion demonstrates continuity between apostolic and Mosaic ethics. As Haig notes, you cannot abolish the dietary laws wholesale and still retain two of them as binding. The council presupposes Torah's validity. 3. 5. Peter's vision. Revisited Peter's rooftop vision, Acts 10, is often invoked to justify abrogation of dietary distinctions. Yet Peter himself interprets it otherwise. God has shown me that I should call no man common or unclean, 10:28. The vision concerns people, not food. The unclean animals symbolized Gentiles whom God was now cleansing. To insist that the vision rendered all foods edible contradicts Peter's own explanation and the council's later reiteration of food-related prohibitions. Furthermore, prophetic symbolism frequently employs ritually prohibited imagery to convey moral lessons, e.g., Ezek 4:12-15. Such symbolism does not nullify the Torah's literal commands. Thus, the narrative consistency from Acts 10:15 confirms that apostolic practice upheld dietary distinction while affirming Gentile inclusion. 6. The council letter and reception. The council's decision was recorded in an epistle addressed to Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, regions with significant Gentile populations. It begins, the apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile brothers in Antioch, Acts 15 verse 23. The tone is communal and authoritative. Upon reading it, the assemblies rejoiced because of its encouragement, V.31. Far from perceiving the Torah as abolished, Gentile believers received instruction as liberation from sectarian coercion, not from divine law itself. The letter's fourfold framework guided mixed congregations throughout the diaspora. 7. Paul's consistency with the decree. Paul consistently enforces these same prohibitions. In 1 Corinthians 8-10, he warns against eating meat sacrificed to idols. In Acts 21, he is assumed to teach adherence to the decree. His dietary flexibility, "I have become all things to all men," 1 Cor 9:22, concerns cultural accommodation within Torah limits, not transgression of it. As Jacob Gervell observes, Paul's mission does not represent antinomianism but a Jewish apostle applying Torah's universal provisions to Gentiles. 4. 8. Historical aftermath and misinterpretation. Later Christian interpretation misread the council as a repeal of the Mosaic Code. Patristic writers, especially after the Bar Kokhba revolt, 132-135 CE, sought to distance Christianity from anything recognizably Jewish. The council was recast as the moment of emancipation from Torah. Yet this retrojection contradicts both the text's halakhic logic and historical context. As Paula Fredrickson notes, Acts 15 depicts not the birth of Christianity but the management of diversity within Judaism. 5. 9. The council as halakhic precedent viewed juridically, Acts 15 represents the apostolic court's authoritative precedent. Its format, debate, witness testimony, scriptural proof, and final decree, matches rabbinic procedure in the Sanhedrin. The use of scripture, Amos 9 verses 11-12, exemplifies Jewish hermeneutics. The inclusion of the nations fulfills prophetic expectation, not abolishes Israel's covenant obligations. James's statement, "We should not trouble those who turn to God," implies that Torah is a privilege to be embraced, not a burden to be cast off. For a consolidated overview of Acts as behavioral evidence, temple attendance, Seventh-day Sabbath, and the festivals after the resurrection, see Supplemental Study 2, Acts as Behavioral Data. 10. Summary of Section 3. 1. The Jerusalem Council deliberated Gentile entry into Israel's covenant, not abolition of Torah. 2. The four decrees derive directly from Leviticus 17-18 and are Torah-based. 3. James's rationale, Acts 15 verse 21, assumes ongoing Torah instruction in synagogues. 4. Dietary laws remain partially reaffirmed for Gentiles. 5. Peter's vision concerns people, not food. 6. The apostolic decree functions as binding halakhic guidance within Judaism. Takeaways from Section 3. The Jerusalem Council, therefore, stands as a testament to continuity, not rupture. It affirmed that Gentiles could enter the people of God through faith in Messiah without proselyte conversion, yet within the framework of Torah ethics. The apostolic movement remained rooted in Israel's covenant structure, interpreting the law through the lens of grace and inclusion.